This is KCLA FM, Los Angeles. Now broadcasting from coast to coast and around the world on web radio at KCLAFM.com. Stay tuned for more.
You ready?
WebRadio.com, your internet radio destination for the new millennium. Live anytime.
On any day.
From anywhere. It's WebRadio.com. Nothing can compare to what's happening across the network. So come listen to this station live at WebRadio.com with music,
news,
sports,
whatever your taste.
It's there. Web Radio also has some cool giveaways all the time. Be sure to check it out. WebRadio.com.
Listening to the Dating Advice Girl radio show on 99.3 KCLA FM, your source for dating advice in Los Angeles.
Hey singles, it's Erin the Dating Advice Girl here on 99.3 KCLA FM in Los Angeles. Do you feel the buzz? I love that song. It just makes me want to dance. I think I saw it on a commercial once. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. I get caught up in the music sometimes. Welcome to the show. So, you guys, this is episode 7 of my dating interview project that I'm super, super happy and pleased and humbled and excited about. This episode is another group of men, those of you who are following this specific series on the Dating Advice Girl radio show, 99.3 KCLA FM in Los Angeles. Those of you who are following this series will know that we did a group of men earlier in the series. I think maybe episode 3 or 4. But so here, this group is 30-something men. Now, it's a very interesting interview in that, you know, all the participants in this dating panel series interview project have been very, very honest. I don't even know, I probably shouldn't even say anything. There's a lot of interesting opinions in this episode. And, you know, I think it's great because I debated about what parts to put in or maybe edit out. But I'm like, no, everyone wanted to be a part of this. And I think it's important that I not edit anybody, you know. I think it's important that we hear truthfully how people feel about certain subjects, you know. So yeah, this is a really good one, you know, because I think that it offers a different perspective and a different opinion than maybe some of the other interview panelists gave. And so it's very interesting for that reason, for sure. So this again is 30-something men. Check out the video, the corresponding video for this and all the other 7 episodes on my website, thedatingadvicegirl.com. You'll see all the, you'll be able to listen to actually all the other episodes of this dating interview project. And this is actually episode, I think, 139 of the show totally overall of it I've been doing for 4 years. So if you want to listen to past episodes where I interview celebrities, give dating tips, all that stuff, go to my website, thedatingadvicegirl.com. But also check out the other 6 episodes of this dating interview panel series on my website, thedatingadvicegirl.com, and the associated videos on my website and on YouTube. I'm on YouTube as well. Those videos are there. On YouTube, just search The Dating Advice Girl. All right, without further ado, here we go. Oh, and I'm on Facebook and Twitter and all Pinterest and Snapchat and Instagram. I'm on everything. So The Dating Advice Girl or Dating Advice GRL on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me very easily. All right, so here we go. Without further ado, this is the 30-something men group, group number 2 of the men. And this is Ben, Rob, Rajiv, and Sean. Here we go.
Okay, what are your names, please?
Hi, my name is Ben Cheyenne.
I'm Rob Tisdale.
Sean Valentino.
Rajiv Sathyal.
Awesome. And so, how do you feel about dating outside of your age group?
I feel like age is more or less just a number, and I feel like sometimes women do mature faster than men, so if the woman is older and the man is younger, they still have the same maturity level and capable of having a meaningful relationship. I feel like as long as they're over 18, everything's nice and legal, so I just don't feel like you should dismiss someone who may be really good for you just because she happened to be born a different year of your life. I think you're faulting her for something she had no control over. So I just feel like let's go ahead and put that to the side because that's not necessarily something to harp on. You know, that has nothing to do with a personality.
I think I have a little more kind of an un-PC answer, which is that age is not just a number. I do feel like it's kind of a, stage in life sort of thing. And I do think, actually, that there is a difference between dating to date and then dating to get married, which I think a point, we were talking about a little bit earlier, which is, I think if you're dating to date and have fun, then it really doesn't matter. And in my case, I've had a lot of energy. I've always had a lot of energy. So dating someone my own age, I'm straight, so I was dating women, but even, this isn't to impugn women. Men, too, just couldn't really kind of keep up. I mean, I would just 1, 2 in the morning, what bar are we going to now? What club are we going to now? So I think it was more of an energy thing. But I think if you're dating married, the stage in life thing probably does make a difference. I was, 37 dating someone who was 23, and the idea of a mortgage was really freaking her out. So I think, there it probably matters. But if you're dating to date, then, hey, all's well and fun.
Yeah, for me, dating people of different ages hasn't really mattered. In fact, I've welcomed it because I think if you're going to have an open-minded, adventurous attitude towards dating, then you have to be open to all ethnicities and all ages. And I think I've had some of my best times with women that were a variety of different ages, from teenagers over 18 to girls in their 50s and 60s. So I think it all has to do with your stage in life, like you said. But my stage in life is I'm just looking to have fun and be adventurous and date girls from all over the world. So being an international playboy, I think you have to be open-minded and adventurous to women of all ages.
Okay, I like older women and women my age. I mean, they're way more mature than me right now. Like, I've been dating, women, my age and in their early 40s. And they're just, they have careers and, they get income every month. And, they have a real job. And, they're looking for someone like that. So I definitely need to date younger women or immature women. Like, if I could find, a 35-year-old woman that's really immature, that would be really good.
Younganddumb.com.
Yes. Is that real?
No,
is that
real? No way. You should start it. Okay. You should start it.
That's a great idea. I'm going to start that today, for sure.
Yes.
So, did you learn about consent growing up? And if so, where did you learn it? Did you learn it from your parents, from sex ed, from friends, or from peers?
I can't remember exactly where I learned it, but I'm going to say just talking with friends in high school. And I don't know, it's just kind of like a common sense thing that seems to get less common sense the older you get. And since there's been rape cases in the news lately, and the Stanford swimmer, it, like, culturally, we all say, you know, that poor girl, like, that guy was, like, raping her behind the dumpster, and what a, that asshole should go to jail forever. And, like, I'm not siding with the guy, but it's very one-sided in our culture, and I think both people need to take equal responsibility for their actions. If you're gonna, you know, take Adderall and go out drinking, maybe you are partly to blame if you're gonna fool around with a guy and then not, you know, you gotta know what you can handle. You can't go out and get drunk and not expect to get in trouble. But it's a tricky situation, and I don't think it's black and white. There's a lot of gray area there when you're talking about consent and rape. So it's better to just play it safe, kids. Play it safe.
Growing up, I didn't really date much at all. That's probably why I have a problem dating now. You know, it's like you always think maybe later you'll figure it out, and then later comes like, oh, I didn't figure anything out. But I feel like, well, my mom and I never really had the talk, and my dad wasn't even in my life at all, so all I can really go off is like certain shows I watched. Like, there's always that one episode of that one show that dealt with it, and so it's like, you might as well take that for what it's worth, you know? What episode of Different World, I think it was, where like Dwayne Wayne was like, should I listen to my heart or my head? And so that's like, you listen to her mouth, and they say, no, you don't listen, that's 10 to 20 years, that's it! And the whole audience clapped, so there it is, plain and simple. When you're in a situation and, you know, you have to sort of try and remember that every step is a step. You don't necessarily go from one to the other quick. So the consensus is along the way, and you must always be ready for a consensus. Sometimes you yes, sometimes you don't, but you must always be ready to hear a reply you might not like and adhere to the reply in which you receive. So
I think we all have to live in reality, you know? I mean, I think there's the idea of how things should be, but we live in the world and how things are. And so, therefore, I think men are... And men, you know, every time I want to defend men, we do something really awful and continue to do something really awful. And so I just go, man, we're just so hard to defend, man. This is so difficult. But you know that if there's a situation, the chances that you're going to be blamed, whether you did it or not, and whether it's fair or not, are pretty high. The chances are you're going to have kind of the burden of proof. So you have to know that going in and be careful of putting yourself in that situation. On the inverse, on the other side, I think what Rob is saying, it's, you know, women, if you're in that situation, and we're talking about, you know, straight here, but if a woman is in that situation, realize that you could be potentially putting yourself in harm's way. And, you know, it's not basketball. You're not trying to draw the foul and, you know, send someone to the free throw line. I mean, this is your life. Something serious could happen. You could catch something. You could have a baby. I mean, obviously, you could get raped. There are a lot of things that could happen in this situation. And so both parties just have to be aware of it. I do think, I cannot speak to drugs too much. I have not done drugs, but I have drunk a lot over the years, over two decades. And I can say that I've never really lost my moral compass. I've you know, lost my inhibitions. I've gone nuts. I've had fun. But I've still known what I was doing. And the worst I ever did was probably set something out of turn. But I don't think I ever did anything that was really kind of outside of, oh my gosh, I can't believe morally I did that. Probably that was just kind of, I was going out of control and probably said some stuff I shouldn't have said. But I think that we all have to be aware of that.
I think the basic idea of consent, we all learn from a young age that use common sense, and you always know when you're in a situation and the other party's not interested. So if you don't really know even that basic that basic idea of what to do in a given situation, then you should probably reconsider even dating anyone at all. But I think as far as when you're actually dating, I think you really learn the idea of consent as you're dating, and especially if you're dating a lot of different people, whatever you're into. And from dating, I learned my idea of consent from dating a lot of different girls, and a lot of wild, crazy girls that you kind of imagine are always, in your mind, you're like, yeah, they're always consenting, but in reality, they're not. You kind of have to learn how to read a situation, and I think that a lot of that comes from experience, and I always encourage guys to date a lot of different women, just to get a good idea of what women like, what they don't like, and also kind of know how to read situations. And I think that's really how I kind of learned my idea of consent, is from dating a lot of different girls, being in the heat of the moment, but also knowing that even if it looks like, you know, this is a girl that, you know, is a guarantee, that it's not always a guarantee, and just understand that, you know, if she doesn't look, seem like she's interested, then you have to back off. And, you know, a lot of times I'm with girls that kind of, they make the first move too, but at the same time they might cut it off, and you're like thinking, oh man, but at the same time you gotta realize, okay, let's cool things off, and then, you know, maybe we can see each other again. So it's just about reading the situation.
Some of it's physical, right? I mean, not to jump back in, but it's just the very nature of the fact that we've got a stick and there's a hole, right? So it's the idea that you've put your penis in something and you're going to leave and you put your penis in something. But if you have a vagina, something's gone into you. That's a very different situation, that you were literally violated. Something literally went into you, and that's got to be, I'm not a woman, I haven't been in that situation, I'm not a gay man either, you'd know it that way too. But I've not had something go into me, so I don't know what that feels like, but I could imagine it's probably a very different feeling from, well, I just sucked my penis in a hole and I left. That's just the biological fundamental nature of it that I think men were just checked out on. I go, so what? I mean, put her penis in a hole. Right, but when you are that hole, that's a very different thing, and there's much more to it than you're a hole. You're a human being, hole with a W. I think that there's not a way, you know what I mean? All right, I'm done. You get a laugh, leave it.
All right. Sorry about that.
I'll just throw it in, like, I was younger, I had a guy friend. He was violated by a woman. I believe him, his story was checked out, and he felt every bit as horrible telling the story, so.
Sure.
It's hard to imagine how did she do it? I didn't want to ask too many questions, but he said, trust me on this, don't even try and moan back, because it turns her on worse. I was like, oh wow, sorry, man. So.
And I think going, kind of playing off the fact that, I'm not going to go where he went, as far as the physical part of it, you think you covered that pretty well. That whole, I think a lot of it's just reading body language, and sometimes people try to break it down to no means no. Sometimes you don't have to say anything, you can kind of just read a woman's body language and kind of know that, you know, this is not going there, and you just kind of try to break it off before it even gets to that point by just kind of seeing the signs. And just, again, a lot of it just comes from experience, but you read a woman's body language and you'll kind of know if she wants to or not.
Be careful if you're a hole.
With a W or an H?
W or an H, that's pretty much all I don't. Does it also have a W? For the one.
Either one.
And there you go, right? I told you, pretty honest, right? I mean, that's the point of this series. You know, I felt like it was very important to hear all aspects and all point of views, you know, because some point of views, you know, might hit us a certain way, but there's still people's point of views. And guess what? These are the people in our society who have these views, just like the other episodes, they had their views, you know? So I think it's important to have a well-rounded view of how people see consent and how people see dating, within gender and within, you know, age group and all these ethnicity and all these things. I think this is actually the last episode. I might do one more episode next week, whatever. I might have one more episode in me for this specific series, but I'm going to be doing this again later in the year. And, you know, I just want to say thanks again to everyone who participated, all the panelists, to Lauren, you know who you are, my manager, who helped me just get organized for all of this and, you know, scheduling and calling people and making sure logistics were in place. Thanks, Lauren, for all of your help, too. And just thanks to all of you who've listened and watched all these episodes as well. I so appreciate it, and I hope you got something out of it, and I hope it was a learning experience, you know? It was for me, for sure. I was like, I thought I knew a lot. Like, I've been doing this for 10 years, you know, in the realm of the dating industry, dating coaching, you know, radio shows and workshops and panels and all these books and articles, you know, but it's interesting because I love the fact that I was surprised and learned something even still from this project. And it's really actually motivated me to do way more things like this. So just thank you to everybody, seriously. I just wanted to revisit before we wrap up. I wanted to revisit the other 30-something men panel earlier on in the series. I just wanted to play, just revisit it and play a little clip on that. So it's kind of like the male show of this episode. So here you go. This was 20 and 30-something men from a couple episodes ago.
Okay, hi,
tell us your name?
Robert.
James.
Micah.
Tapan.
Daniel.
Okay, so did you learn about consent growing up? And if so, from where? From parents, sex ed, friends, or peers?
Television, probably.
Yeah, television raised most of us. But I still learned it through just the way my dad treated my mom. More of a courteous way of treating her. And then as we got older, my sister was assaulted in that way. And that changed me, because it was a boyfriend of hers that just really took it too far. And I was too young to do anything about it. So I was really angry at him. And I was angry at myself for being so young and not being able to do anything about it. So it's just one of those things where you just decide in your life that I'm not going to be that guy. So if she ever says no, if there's any hint that she's uncomfortable with this, I'm not doing it, because I don't want to be labeled as that guy. Now, when you're with your friends, sometimes they're like, oh, you should have pressed it, you should have pushed it, you know, you should have done this. And it's like, no, I'm not you. That's rape, dude. I'm not doing that. So you might think it's cool and it's funny, but that's just not funny to me.
Like, I feel like it was brought up in sex ed. I don't remember how much, because when I think about sex ed now, I think more about, you know, the protection and just the, you know, information, like medical information. And I'm pretty sure consent was definitely a part of that. And my parents probably talked a little bit about it, but I think they felt like they raised me well enough that they would, I just think that I would respect a woman enough. But yeah, I would probably think that television or something, pop culture, where you first come across something, you see where rape is involved and no meaning no, and like that's where, like, it really, I feel like it really gets ingrained in you, like, because you'll be able to, you know, really push it on TV and make it like a big issue, and so you can really feel how important it is.
I don't ever really feel like I was taught consent. It feels like you should know right from wrong.
Right.
Sometimes you just feel
it's in that DNA.
Like, you can feel where you're doing something right and something wrong. Some people don't have that feeling. I don't know if it's mental, or maybe you do need to be taught how to feel that way, but I can't remember it being saying tall that she says no. Mm-hmm. Listen to it, like, duh. Like, yeah, so I don't ever remember blatantly taught that. I just feel like I've always known, like, it's fucking common sense, but obviously it's not. So that's what trips me out. Like, that's what I can't grasp. Maybe I'm not supposed to grasp, because it's crazy, but it's very simple to me. Very simple.
Yeah, it does seem intuitive. It does seem like it probably did come from, you know, family, television. You know, it's how you learn everything. You know, it's how you were brought up. But yeah, it just seems like when you just, I think somebody made an analogy to, like, a cup of tea. Like, you want a cup of tea? No. Well, I'm not going to force you to have a cup of tea. Right. That's just crazy. Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense. You know, oh, but it'll feel like great for me if you have this cup of tea. Like, that's just an absurd idea.
It's so weird.
That's such a strain.
Yeah.
So it just makes sense, but yeah, I don't want to discount the fact that it probably, you know, I'm sure I watched, you know, maybe it's probably something on Saved by the Bell or something, like, in the sex ed.
Maybe that rape episode was really good.
No, it's like subtle things just teach you kind of without realizing it, like.
For sure, though, for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
As men, do you ever, like, experience the other end of consent? Like, I hear a lot of talking about respecting women's consent, but what about, like, vice versa? Do you guys ever feel any violation on your consent, or, like, any difficulty expressing your boundaries of consent, or having any issues with that with females?
I used to. Yeah. I was kind of a prude when I was younger, and so, yeah, I think that for the most part, women can get away with anything. It's like, it's not like they're going to, I don't think that would stand up very much in court to say, like, I was raped by this woman, unless she was really strong.
He kind of knows if he didn't want to, he wouldn't have. And a woman, I guess, feels a little more, like, vulnerable or taken advantage of, when it's definitely possible for the man to be taken advantage of, but I don't know if this sounds sexist. Like, you're there, like, you're...
You don't have to be
standing
the ring
for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and there are methods that they do to to get you up and ready for it without your consent.
That's true.
But, you know, I think that even then, everything is just so skewed. I probably shouldn't frame that.
But, like,
but yeah, it's true.
But like,
look it up.
Not right now.
Right.
And leave. Mm-hmm. And then you don't get raped. Unless she's just a hoss.
Like, but I guess it just seems less predatory when there's a woman initiating it toward a man, because it seems more celebrated when it goes, oh yeah, oh, she wanted you, you know, and it's like, nah, if he didn't want to do it, he didn't want to do it. And it doesn't make him weak if he doesn't want to do that. And we're seeing that a lot now in the news, where we have a lot of teachers taking advantage of their male students. And they're not getting the same type of crime. They're not getting the same type of penalty for this crime if it were a male student doing it to their female. I mean, a male teacher doing it to their female students.
I have the same reaction myself. When I read it and it's like a guy, you know, I'm like, oh no, I can't believe he did that. And when it's a woman, I'm like, is she good looking?
Yeah, it's like, oh, gee, that's
right. I went to a school where this would never happen today, but there was a teacher that we had that had knowingly, when she was young and just out of college, she slept with, you know, people thought that if you were lucky enough to get to sleep with her, that was great. And then those guys were like our parents' age, so we knew a lot of them that knew her. Now she's an old teacher. She'd been there forever. She never got in trouble for it. And they were like, oh yeah, you guys should have seen her when we were in school. She was actually hot. We were like, really? And everybody knew that she had slept with them, and it was like, if it wasn't, she didn't get in serious trouble. If it had been a guy teacher, he would have been in jail.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the biggest stereotype or assumption people make about you in regards to dating based on your gender or your age?
I think the biggest difficulty with assumption is when they assume that a guy is going to need to be educated about, say, consent, and that they want to be chaste, but they're willing to say no and then still get mad if you don't continue to pursue them. Because there's sort of two separate things, as far as there's a very clear thing about you know, what consent is, and then there's also the nature of a lot of females just like to be chaste, so they just assume you're going to do that, even if they have sort of said, like, you know, I don't do the following thing. If you listen, then you might make them mad.
It varies. One girl will say one thing and the next will say the next, so then you're stuck in this vicious cycle of trying to know what to do, and you're just on the offbeat every time.
Should have tried that with the last one.
I didn't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
I always just steer towards, like, well, no means no, and then even if the girl is like, well, no sometimes doesn't mean no, then I'm like, I don't care. No means no.
No means no, so it's like, how many no's are we supposed to take? This is like a telemarketer game where you're saying, oh, you're only supposed to go for three no's, and then you don't take the date, or what is it? What are we supposed to do?
The last three phone numbers that I got out and about and really felt good about, they approached me like, oh, she's kind of looking at me, bro. She came up to me, I wanted to meet you. I was like, this is cool.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited. I'm actually excited about this one. Exchange information. No responses when I call or text back. All my messages are blue as hell.
So there you go. There you go. I love it. I love this discussion. We're running out of time. Just want to wrap up the show. Thank you to that group of panelists, too. I don't have their names down, but that group of panelists, guys, thank you again, okay? They're really great. And again, their episode with more of that conversation, I think it's episode 3 or 4, I believe. So check that one out. That's the 20 to 30-something men. You guys, just thank you so much again for listening to the Dating Advice Girl Radio Show, the show here at 99.3 KCLA FM in Los Angeles. Much, much more fun things to come, so stay tuned, and just thanks again for supporting this project. It's been a passion project for me, and there will be much more to come, so just stay tuned, have an amazing week, and I will see you all soon.
Is it just me? Do you
us, or is it just me? Trust me, something in the air's just above me. Something like